Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. All right, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of This Is Real, where we talk to real people about real problems, bringing you real solutions. And just in case you didn't notice, we are in a totally different setting. But let me tell you, God, this is the beauty.
Come on.
Of Jesus, right? Amen. Like, just when you think there is no way, he makes a way. I think there's a scripture like that and maybe a few songs. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. We are right now in Texas Collective Studio because we got burglarized. We were tons of moving stuff, just chaos. But in the midst of chaos.
Come on. Preach.
Texas Collective Studio reached out and was like, hey guys, I saw what happened. Come on, somebody say body of Christ.
Body of Christ.
Yes. Come on. They reached out and they were like, hey man, we saw what happened. We want to keep the podcast going, you know, knowing that I think we've crossed over 10 million nationwide in the prison system. And they just kind of wanted to come alongside and help us. And they were like, come here and do it here. And so here we are. They got Texas Collective Studio not only got a dope studio, but they got good coffee.
How's that water? And it smells really good. The water really is delicious.
Yeah, I like the white mic. I like everything. I got a little blankie. I mean, we're doing good. So big shout out to Texas Collective Studio, to Jeff, Nikki, and Zach, who was a blast from the past. Come on, I knew him in All Nations. We went to school together.
Oh, you did?
Amen. Yeah, man. Fire.
When I met Zach, he didn't have the mustache or nothing. He wasn't married, no mustache. He was a young kid. And now he's like, bam, he's actually the one back there doing all the
audio,
which is kind of dope. So, man, you know what? Again, thank you to all who've been praying for us, who've donated. We are working behind the scenes, taking it step by step and day by day on seeing what God is going to do with this. I know it's going to be super incredible. Because that's how God moves, man.
Facts.
Just when there seems like there's no way, he makes a way, right? Yep. And so today we're going to talk about something that I believe is rare in today's world. Let me just say, you could have degrees, you could have diplomas, you could have a crazy high IQ, you could be the smartest person on the planet. And still keep making dumb decisions, right? Because you could be super smart, but it's not the same thing as being wise. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Like, there's a big difference between being smart and wise. And I don't know. I used to think, when I was in the world, I used to think I was super smart. But I always got caught, you know? So, I mean, I wasn't so smart. And then the decisions I made kept putting me in the same thing over and over again. So today's episode, we're going to talk about wisdom. All right? I'm going to read you a verse. And then we're going to let Ernesto and Megan kind of jump in on the dialogue. And the verse is, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Okay? So before we talk about decision-making, discernment, or navigating life, you got to get that posture right, right? So that we could talk about wisdom. But I want to ask you guys a question, you know, before we start getting into, like, the verse and all that stuff. Like, was there ever a time that you felt like you were really smart and you made a choice that seemed like it was the smartest thing and it was the stupidest decision you ever made?
All my life.
All my life.
I used to pride myself in the fact of being intellectually smart and being, like, in pre-AP classes and honors and graduating top 10%, you know?
Because people don't know that about you, right? You know? Tell them a little bit about your smarts.
Yeah, so I graduated top 10% of my class. I had a scholarship to any school in Texas that I wanted to go to. Wow. Free, full ride, government letters, honor society.
All that. Megan, she's like, what?
Yeah. So I would kind of, like, take pride in that.
Yeah.
But I would act dumb.
You would act dumb.
Yeah, I chose drug addiction, street life over all that. It was funny because I don't remember when we did the testimony?
Yeah.
And we were talking about my drug addiction.
Yeah.
Josue's coworker was like, man, that's the smartest crackhead I ever heard.
Oh my God.
But, you know, I didn't have any real wisdom because, I mean, I ended up homeless. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah
my whole life, I was kind of like, man, I'm smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How about you, Megan?
Well, mine is definitely the opposite of having scholarships and degrees and those things. You know,
you're pretty smart, though.
Well, I believe that I am smart, and I know that I'm smart.
Whoa! No, okay.
But, and I don't mean that in a prideful way.
We thought that.
When I'm messing with you. I spent most of my life in a posture of arrogance and pride, thinking that I knew more than everybody else around me, no matter how much they tried to tell me that what I was doing was wrong, or if they tried to love me, to pour wisdom into me, I rejected it because I thought that I knew better, and it all stemmed from a place of pain and hurt when my innocence was taken as a child, and I went to adults on three different occasions to share with them, hey, this happened, and the very people that I was supposed to trust, that were supposed to protect me, called me a liar.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so as I was growing up as a child, I grew and built walls that stopped allowing people to come in that really harmed me. And it wasn't until I started coming to Get Rap Church and met Pastor Juan that changed. And Pastor Juan, I just shared last night in my hangout. Well, you were the first
person.
She's like
talking third person. It's me.
Well, it is.
So you say you.
Well, it is you. But I'm like,
who did you meet?
You.
Yeah.
The other Pastor Juan.
And so until I learned who Christ was and my identity in him, I went to church for 5 years before coming to Get Wrapped and never read my Bible.
Wow.
Because I didn't know that that's what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I came to Get Wrapped Church that I started listening or tried to begin to listen.
So what did y'all do? Like,
I would go to church.
And just sit
and
there?
Then I would just go home. I mean, God was doing things,
well,
but I wouldn't
read. Well,
because
at that point, it's more religion, right? Like, well, you're exactly. Just checking a box and you're like.
Oh, yeah. I was the mom in the parking lot that if we miss like 2 minutes of worship,
oh my God.
It was like, you guys, I can't believe that I'm missing worship. And then my whole day was ruined.
That's kind of wild. But I mean, God's process,
honest.
I mean, right? Yeah. He still loved you then and still walked with you. And now you read your Bible. So that's a good
absolutely.
Thing. Right? And so I like, you know, we have this thing. We were talking about it earlier, like wait till your dad gets home. And there's this stigma of like, even I grew up like that, right? Where people were like, you know, like if God was up there just waiting to strike you, right? Yeah. It was like, what, you know, watch out, don't do nothing wrong, you know that.
Can't
even and I would go to Catholic church and put the little water, and so yeah, and I would always think that it would sit down like, oh man, I'm gonna do it and something's gonna happen to me. Like I would be nervous, especially if I knew I was living crazy, because my mama would say, God sees everything. And so you're like, oh man, there's this fear that's not what this verse is saying when it talks about the fear of the Lord. It's not the fear of the Lord, right? It's the beginning of wisdom. This awe, this reverence, this respect, right? It's recognizing that God is God and we're not.
Amen.
Right? And so what did you guys think when it came to, like, now you understand a little bit more like what the fear of the Lord is. But what did you think when you first started hearing about the fear of the Lord, or just that kind of thing? What'd you think?
I mean, I always had viewed it in a legalistic law mentality.
Okay.
You know, that the fear is if I do something wrong or if I'm in the wrong, that there's going to be a consequence.
Yeah, totally.
Because there's always a consequence for everything.
Yeah.
Right? And so just always viewing it in that way, instead of knowing that God is a good God, that he is loving, that he is just, but he fights our battles for us.
Yeah.
And that he's not up there with an iron fist shaking it at me saying, Megan, I can't believe that you did that. He's saying, daughter, sit at my feet.
Yeah.
Spend time with me.
Yeah.
And know that I love you and allow me to pour my wisdom into you through the reading of my word, through worship, through there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that I learned the hard way. Is surrounding myself with community, with people that I can actually trust, open up, and allowing their wisdom to be poured into me that is truth, mm-hmm. and then listening,
amen.
Even though I don't agree with it.
Yeah. How about you?
I don't think I ever had, like, until I became a Christian, I never had, like, a fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
That wasn't part of
life. But when you first read that, the fear of the Lord, did you automatically know awe and wonder, reverence? Or did you go like, oh,
no,
man,
I was
be
like,
afraid?
Fear. I spent a lot, I guess, from pride too. Like, I ain't scared of nobody. You know what I'm saying? Like, so fear of the Lord was not something that I really grasped or understood. And then it kind of turned into like what she was saying. He's going to send you to hell and burn. You know, you're going to burn if you don't do these things. So it kind of became that. But I mean, I guess coming from, you know, the life that I came from, that turned, that kind of turned up my rebellion. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, I was like, man, like, what's the point of all this? You know what I mean? But it's not until I began to understand, like, God and his character and who he is and, you know, just the way he works that I began to understand that there's an awe. We were talking about this morning. There's a majesty to him. There's a, like, there's a, an amazement. There's just, like, this sovereignty, this holiness that it strikes you in such a way that your fear is more of, like, a, man, this is God. Even what I experience in worship, like, for me, worship, I get to experience his goodness in the midst of, the fact that I did all these horrible things, in the midst of my brokenness, in the midst of my imperfections. Like, what breaks me about worship is that my awe of, like, man, you're so good. And out of anybody in the world, you have the right to reject me and say you can't stand here because of how holy I am and how imperfect you are. But yet you welcome me. You know, not only do you welcome me, but you want me and you receive me and you accept me. Like, I don't know, that the awe of his character in that fashion is what's transformational for me. Like, I'm transformed by that. I cannot not help want it to change because of how good and how awesome he is.
You know, I used to, when I first got out, I used to always, like, one of my problems that I had was that I always heard, like, you're not smart enough.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be accepted, you know, because it's kind of this weird thing where, like, you know, you get saved and you start going to church and, you know, you start doing all the things that you can, but you feel like you're not a part of it, even though you are part of the body. You just kind of feel like you're not, right? Because you got to, you know, especially if you go somewhere where everybody didn't come out of prison or, you know, or don't understand because maybe they never got high before or they never did any of those things. So you kind of feel like you're out of pocket. And so my thing was that as I kept growing, I went to school, you know, I just kept trying to, like, get more and more, right? To just almost like I'm going to get this and I'm going to do this so that I could feel better about myself and feel smart enough, you know.
I remember you saying something about, like, I'll show you.
Oh, no, yeah. Totally. That's a completely different, but yes. But I kept living like, okay, I got to learn. I got to have all this schooling and I got to have all this stuff and I got to all these things. You know, the problem was that every time I finished something, like, I didn't feel any smarter, you know, like I not intellectually. Right. Like, my goal was to kind of just know Jesus.
Yeah.
And so no matter what I did, I'm just trying to know Jesus. But I had this whisper, and it was the whisper of the enemy to say, man, you're not smart enough.
Yeah.
The schools didn't do nothing. They helped me learn more about the nature of God and all that. So they did something. I'm not saying they didn't do nothing, but I'm saying they didn't do nothing to the voice I was hearing.
Yeah.
It had to be like a revelation. I got a revelation in James, right? I had read it a gajillion times, preached it, you know. It was until one day I was sitting and I read that if I need wisdom, that God gives it to me, that I ask. And so I got this revelation. Now, this is going to sound wild, but I just totally believe that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, you know, like, can just radically transform your life in one verse, right? Because all of this stuff I was learning, and yet it took me sitting with the Lord and him saying to me, Juan, like, I instantly felt like a genius because I had this revelation that I didn't have to be smart enough.
Facts.
You know, my dependency is upon Jesus and the Word and the Holy Spirit. And the minute I understood that, I'm connected to God who has all the wisdom.
Yeah.
He is wisdom, right? Yeah. He is truth. And so the minute I got that revelation, I never suffered with that again because I felt like at that moment, like, man, I'm a genius because I'm connected to God, you know?
Yeah.
And not only do we not have to be, but we can't. Like, I think it says in 1 Corinthians, it says, where is the wise philosopher who understands? Where is the expert scholar who comprehends? Mm. And where is the skilled debater of our time who could win a debate with God? Hasn't God demonstrated that the wisdom of this world system is utter foolishness?
Mm.
Like, the smartest of people that we can be around.
Totally.
That wisdom is foolishness. So imagine us who are, like, probably average. we are.
And I think it's important to understand that we all need wisdom. Like, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And so you can get money, you could get status, you could get a name, but if you don't get wisdom, none of that will last, right? Like, wisdom is eternal, and there's there's a smart fool, I guess, yeah. right? Because there's when we were all in the world, and even people now, like I kind of when we go into the prisons and all that, it's like I'm always telling the guys, and you've heard me say this, where I go like, you're a game, yeah. you're a game, like
your best idea,
your best idea. Like it was a Friday night, Thursday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, whatever night it was, and your a game pretty much got you dressed in white, sitting in a seat. Yeah. So like that was your best idea, like your top idea. You were like, this one right here,
it's gonna work.
This is gonna work. Yeah. And then like you wound up in prison, yeah. or you wind up in an accident, or you wind up in adultery. Because it doesn't just have to be behind the walls. Like because the whole book Prison Break, the premise of that yeah. was that there's a lot of people out here, even in church, that are incarcerated mm-hmm. with bars around their hearts. Right. So your incarceration keeps you going to the same thing, if that makes Man. Sense, right? It says that it's insanity if you keep doing the same thing yeah. over and over. You know, and it's wild because a lot of times, even with that, most people, there's cycles of bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And we blame it on everything. You know, we just ignore red flags. And there's a verse, Proverbs 14:12, that says there's a way that seems right to a man, mm. but in the end it leads to death. Because your greatest idea, your greatest plan usually ends in something.
Our human wisdom.
Crazy. Yeah. yeah. Oh, no, totally.
That's like, I think it was so powerful what you were saying this morning. Like, it has to, the foundation of wisdom is our fear of the Lord. So we have to understand that the wisdom that is telling us to get, it has to be rooted in God. It has to be rooted in our understanding and our fear of God and knowing Jesus.
Yes.
It can't be like our own intellect or our own wisdom that we've kind of put together.
Oh, facts. Because the beginning is not just start, it's foundation, right?
That's fine.
And it's that's to me is super, super important because even when you're like, when you get a really good idea and it's not godly wisdom, it feels right. It always feels right, right? Because nobody's in those times when you're making a decision and you didn't go to the Lord or you're not dependent upon His word or you didn't ask God and you kind of do it, it always feels right, even though it's actually wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Like, nobody ever thinks, well, you know, this, you know, I think we all think that that's the great idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Right? In relationships, you know, I'm always telling people, like, they're like, they start complaining about their relationship. I'm like, you picked them.
Yeah.
Like, you were like, you know, that one right there, that one's awesome. And then, like, it's catastrophic because you didn't follow Bible. Like, you didn't check fruit. You didn't, you were impatient. You thought, you know, he had a six-pack, you know, some abs. He was wearing a tank top with some tattoos, and all of a sudden, he's hot. But you didn't check character. You didn't. Yeah. And for guys, too, it's like, you know, you could go for packaging all day long. And I'm saying, obviously, looks matter, but it's not everything. Because you can't go to Walmart and buy, like, character. You can't buy integrity and, like, here, drink 3 gallons of this. Yeah. You know, like, I think we need to be more dependent in our decision-making.
Facts.
And get God's wisdom in every area, right? Like there's all these things that I've learned throughout the years, even about finances, even though that's like the taboo topic, you know, in church life. It's like we're still arguing about tithing, you know, we're still arguing about things that are like basic, like why does it bother you that much to give 10%, right? But I think like, and the world is over here like investing, you know, real estate, like they're constantly climbing this financial ladder that only some are climbing in the Christian world because most are still arguing about insignificant things. But God wisdoms, if you look at Ecclesiastes 11 and you look at all these verses that talk about even investing. So in every area of your life, God has wisdom
Amen.
For it.
Yeah.
Right? And the area that you're lacking and you're not exhibiting fruit, if we're going to be honest about this, like the area that you're not exhibiting fruit is the area you're probably not following the leading of the Lord. Because it always produces fruit.
You don't have reverence for him in that spot.
You don't have reverence for him in that spot.
I was going to say that wisdom is just more than what we always talk about, which is head knowledge.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the ability to be able to live it, walk it out in your day-to-day decisions and your day-to-day thought processes. And when you were talking, it reminded me of when my son had brain cancer in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Because after I had started reading my Bible and started getting closer to God, and then hearing the cancer diagnosis that he had, I had Christians telling me that it was our fault, that we were the reason why he had cancer.
Yeah.
And so my faith came wavered in the wisdom that I thought that I had, that how could my son get sick because my son is a child of God, and going off of what people were saying and what I thought their wisdom was, instead of really fully understanding and really knowing that I had read what God's word says and that he is a sovereign God, but being like, well, wow, maybe I do have this wrong. Maybe we have done something wrong. Maybe we did open a door to allow him to get sick. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's my fault. Yeah. Those little decisions of not fully walking in the confidence and knowing who God is in our life and not being wavered by that, I almost walked away from my faith because of it. Because of giving ear to things that weren't scripture.
Yeah.
Because I was following man's wisdom instead of what God's word said about a situation.
That's deep. I'm going to read you a story so you can trip out. Because, I mean, it's titled Solomon's Wisdom. And I thought this was kind of deep. 1 Kings 3, okay? It says, the two women who were prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One woman said, praise the Lord. Please, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was in the house. On the third day, after I gave birth, she also had a baby, and we were alone. No one else was with us in the house. Just the two of us were there. During the night, I don't know why people don't like the Bible. This is like straight up drama right here, right? They're like, yeah, this is like straight up drama. During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your servant was asleep. She laid in her arms and she put her dead son in my arms. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, I discovered he was dead. Mm-hmm. That morning, when I looked closely at him, I realized that he was not the son I gave birth to. No, the other woman said, my son is the living one. Your son is the dead one. The first one said, no, your son is the dead one. And they get into this whole fight, right? There's no DNA test back then. There's no cameras, just straight up drama. And so what does Solomon do? He pretty much says, bring me the sword and let's split the baby. Okay, now that sounds crazy, right? Because you're like, just imagine you being in the room. But Solomon is super dope. Like, this is straight wisdom.
It's psychology.
all day long. He says, bring me the sword, let's split the baby in half. One woman says, fine, do it.
Yeah.
Okay, the other one says, no, let her have the baby. Solomon immediately knew who the mother was because the one who would give up the rights to protect the life, right? He instantly knew that's wisdom. He didn't react emotionally. He discerned what was real. So I just think, like, when you're looking at even that, that's straight up wisdom, right? Because if you know, there ain't no mother in the planet that's going to want the baby split in half. So the real mother stood up. And I just think that's kind of dope.
That was dope.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's actually titled, that part is Solomon's Wisdom. So I like, a lot of times, you know, I think that because we live on outward appearance or what seems right to a man, God's wisdom, his ways are way higher than our ways. Yeah. And sometimes we don't think it's God's wisdom. Like right there, if we were all in the room, we would have been like, what? You know, what are you, crazy? Like, but his wisdom was like, I mean, it was godly wisdom, right? Like he already knew that. And I think when God speaks to us, we expect it to sound exactly how we would want it to sound because we're selfish. Yeah. And his wisdom usually is something that makes you uncomfortable because he's trying to get you to bring heaven here, right? Yeah. So it's totally uncomfortable, totally foreign. It's stuff that we just don't expect them to say. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And so against our nature.
Yeah. Oh, totally. We live by sight, really not faith, when we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight.
And being at a place where we can realize we really know nothing.
Facts.
Yeah.
We don't have all of the answers. And for us to be okay with saying, I don't know, and I don't have the answer to that, instead of feeling like we have to buck up and puff out our chest and say, I know, I have the answer. This is, and being at a place where I can say, I don't know. Can you teach me? Yeah. Or go to God, like it says, and he's going to generously give. And being at that place where I say, I don't know, and I only know because you know, so teach me.
Yeah.
I feel like that's empowerment, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where I experienced the most freedom at, is when I finally said, I don't know. I don't know, Pastor. I don't know how to be a husband.
Yeah.
I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a brother, a friend. I don't know how to be anything. Because realistically, what I did know is not even from the aspect of godly wisdom. It's not partaking in kingdom culture. It's a worldly culture. It's something that was, you know, embedded in me from my identity in the world. So I don't know what it means to be a godly father until I submitted myself to godly counsel and to godly wisdom. And it took that. It took me saying, I think that's the best place you can live from.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
Well, that's dependency.
Yeah.
That's why when, you know, when we say like, I don't have time to pray, or people, hey, you know, because this is the common thread is like, you know, because we're in Bible illiteracy today, right? So it's like, I don't have time for my word. What you're pretty much saying is that you depend more on yourself, even though you're not saying it. You might not be saying it with your mouth, but your heart is actually saying it because you're living out, right? The fact that you don't have time for, think about it. If I'm like in that room over there, is all the finances. he looks, all the finances. Vicky over there, she has all the finances you need, right? Let's just use it money-wise because that's where people mostly understand.
I'll be back.
You're going to constantly go. If you have a need, you're going to go over there. So Jesus is, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, Christ Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Mm-hmm. So, and Jesus is the Word. Who was, you know, was the Word from the very beginning. The Word was there, right? And he became Word and dwelt among us and all this amazing stuff mm-hmm. that we all recite and know.
Yeah.
By you saying that you don't have time for the Word, you're pretty much saying you don't have time for Jesus.
Yeah.
And by you not filling yourself with the Word, if you're not filling, how are you empowered to walk this out? Yeah. And how do you know what to believe in? And how do you know, because the Holy Spirit always leads you into truth. So how do you know? You're living life pretty much aimlessly.
Or how you know.
Or how you know. So it's opinionated.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much saying that you're not dependent upon God. And how do you follow Jesus? If Jesus is the Word, like, how do you follow if you don't have time for the Word? So you're pretty much not dependent. You're dependent on your own smarts, pretty
much.
And
at that point, you can't even blame anybody but yourself for the way your life is going.
Yeah. You can't, but we do.
Yeah, yeah. We're like, help me. And you're like, well, I mean, you won't even read. You don't even spend time.
Yep.
You don't even acknowledge that your wisdom is jacked up and mine's the only wisdom. And you can't even partake in my wisdom because you don't spend no time with me.
Bro, and back in the day, let me tell you, I feel like I'm old now. but when we were going to like Bible college, you know, I'm over here looking at Zach, but in those times, like I have a concordance that's like this thick still sitting around, right? Because there wasn't a lot of like the tools there is today, like Logos and all that, where you could just put wisdom. It just comes out like, I mean, you're not gonna have any excuse when you get to heaven. You don't have no excuse because he's like, man, you could type something out and get 5,000 verses and
Google
and
it.
All these books that are connected online, right? Like, and imagine before me, I mean, right? We're going back to like the phone directory, right? Like I mean, you got to go find Domino's, you know?
Yeah.
And like now, I just feel like we have so much access to scripture and so much access to like really like breaking down a word like to its bare Latin root. Like you have all these things that you can use and we still don't want to use them.
Yeah, that's good.
Because we don't see, because we've lost the fear of the Lord, realistically, we have lost the fear of the Lord. Like we need to return back to the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One, you know, because we got to live out the very thing. Like that's what helps you live out pretty much this awe of God and this selfish wonder. Yeah, the selfish part is just
heart is wicked and deceitful above all things.
Yeah, so when you're walking with Jesus, you're walking with wisdom.
Selflessness.
Yeah.
Selflessness. All day long.
Yeah.
All day long. You think we don't follow wisdom? And I think it's what you've been saying because we want what feels good and what's easy. Mm-hmm. So then that would throw you off into even following Jesus, right?
I was talking to the youth yesterday and one of them kind of was talking about this aspect of like, well, it's hard for me to trust God. You know, because, like, I don't even know how things are going to work out. And, you know, and so I was kind of like, it's because you don't know God. You know, and I kind of gave him the illustration, like, if I'm standing up here with your dad and you have to trust one of us, who are you going to trust? And he was like, well, my dad. And I was like, why? He's like, well, because I know him more. Mm-hmm. I go, exactly. Like, so you can't trust God because you don't know him enough, or you don't know him in those areas that you can depend on him to trust. We can't lean to his wisdom if we don't know his wisdom, if we don't have the knowledge of the Holy One. Like, we can't. We just won't, because in our humanistic instinct, we lean into what we know and what we understand, what we're comfortable in, and usually it's our own intellect, our own wisdom, our own trash. And that's why we end up in these cycles where, like, you expect different results, but you won't even acknowledge that there's a different way of thinking that can set you free, but you're not willing to go pursue it, you know? And
that's good.
I just think that that's, like, what we struggle with.
Yeah.
Like, we especially in prison, people are like, in our culture, we have trust issues. Mm-hmm. We have insecurities. We have, like, my way is the right way, and maybe you're trying to get out to get me. So if we view our fathers like that, or other people, we view God like that. You know, so of course we're not going to be like, yes, I'll follow your directions. We're like, how can I trust your direction?
Yeah. Yeah, to see the kingdom, you have to be born again, right? So you have to almost unlearn everything you know, everything, literally. And then relearn it.
That's like one of the things that I say consistently to those guys. Like, even for me, one of the challenges that I face is that, the renewing of the mind. Because for 30-something years before I got saved, there's a certain way that was embedded in me of thinking, of seeing, of believing, of understanding, of perceiving, of all these things. And to come to a realization that none of it is kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
None of it is, like, godly. None of it is beneficial for my life according to the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's hard to grasp, especially if some of those things help me survive or have been successful, or I've been so comfortable in them that I know this way of living is right. But he's like, no, it's not right. It's not kingdom. It's right because you think it works for you.
And a lot of those things were taught to you by people you trusted.
Facts.
So it took root in your heart, right? Mm-hmm. Because you actually, you know, we say...
put you on game.
Hear what the word of God has to say, accept it, and it bears fruit.
Yeah.
So same concept. You heard what they had to say, and because it was a trusted source, mm-hmm. you pretty much accepted what they said. And you live that out. And then you saw it in the movies.
Yeah,
and then you heard a rap song about it, right? Because that's what happened to me. So, like,
that's good.
Like, growing up, obviously, I went to Catholic church and stuff like that. But when I would go there and, you know, let's say they're reading a verse and they're talking about the Father who loves, right? In my house, I don't have a father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, all right, Father that's close. In my house, my dad, I had to beg my dad, close. You know, this is all the stuff. So now all of a sudden, I am listening to some of my uncles in bars and stuff, and they're like, man, no, this is it. And they're saying stuff that then I go watch a movie in it. So the lie looked like the truth.
It confirms mm-hmm. it.
And then the truth looked like a lie.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part where us as people, like living out the scriptures and following wisdom should make the world should make you attractive enough to a person that's in the world, right? Like let's say they're smoking or they think drinking, like, we have to get to a place where we just don't go, because Jesus said, like these broad things, like, we should be able to explain a diet. You know, if you're dieting, you know how to explain a diet. A guy like me that's not dieting, mine is like broad. It's like, don't eat bad, right? Like, but there's no details to why. I can't explain why my life is so much better. You should be able to sit with somebody who smokes that thinks that him smoking, you know, because let me tell you something. I didn't talk to really any Christians, I think, when I was like in the world and stuff. But
facts.
Like, when I was smoking, there's people that I know for sure when I was smoking, I could have sat with them and prove them wrong that my life was better than theirs, because they look bitter and their life looked like it sucked. And mine, even though it was bad, I could probably convince them that smoking was better. Because
probably did. That's what
probably did. Because I think we have to get to a place that if Jesus is good, why?
Yeah.
Why? Mm-hmm. Just because you go to church, like, mm-hmm. there should be this joy and there's peace that surpasses the understanding, and this fruit. Patience and all of these, this kindness. This should just look different, you know? I think wisdom is inconvenient. It makes you pause. It humbles you. It costs you your pride. But when you know that wisdom is the only way, man, life becomes like a lot better.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.